Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
It is good to have you listening on a Monday. And Mike Bell coming off of a crazy weekend, NCAA tournament action. You know, my man, you called this. You said when you were filling out your bracket, and here I was studying hard, study long, study wrong, and I'm like, oh, I don't know which way I'm going to go. And I filled out one, and then I filled out another, and you were like, chalk, chalk, chalk. And I'm like, no, it can't be. And guess what it is?
Yeah, it's chalk, you know, save for one double-digit seed. But, man, and even that, Oregon's been there before, done that with Dana Altman. So, yeah, the Florida State Gonzaga, can't wait for that one. Everybody's still talking about it, even if you're not a big, you know, college basketball fan, Carl. That Duke UCF game—that's one for the ages.
It really was, man, and it was amazing to watch. I was out in Vegas watching it, and the vibe and the passion. Oh. Mike, I actually had a woman start crying when UCF went up next to me. Her and her brother were out there betting and having a good time. She had on all her Duke gear, and literally UCF goes up, and she's, I can't believe we're going to lose Zion. I mean, she's going nuts. And then when they win,
right,
she literally ran up and down the aisle, and she's going crazy and cussing at folks. It was one of the most exciting games that I've seen in a very long time. But I do think Duke showed some vulnerability. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to take advantage of it, but I think, again, we forget these are freshmen.
Right.
This is a young team. This is not a group of guys that have been together for 3 or 4 years. So we'll talk plenty about that, guys, and the tournament coming up here in about 20 minutes with Seth Greenberg from ESPN. And Coach knows what he's talking about. Of course, he was down there at South Florida, Virginia Tech as well. And, Mike, that Virginia Tech matchup is going to be interesting because they're familiar with Duke. I just don't know if they're going to be able to beat them.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody has a scare on their way to the big one, and I think that might have been it for Duke just because, just the physical size and the fact that Zion couldn't get to the rim and still went for 32, which, again, for all these guys, and I had a guy last week going around and around with the always glorified Sean Kemp. I'm like, you're not watching. You're not watching. I mean, this guy makes shots. I mean, he makes jump shots, and, again, when you've got a guy the size of a, you know, Godzilla in front of him, he's still able to find a way to help his team win the game. Now, I know we were talking off the air, and some people made this a thing. And, look, the refs are what they are. And Mike Conte brought this up last week, how they drive you crazy in a big tournament like this, Carl. I just thought, yes, Duke got some calls. I also thought UCF got some calls.
I did, too.
And the big fella could have been called for fouling out a little bit earlier than he did. So, and they even got a shot where the shot clock went. Actually, I don't think a ball hit the rim with about 2:09 left, and they got away with that. So it does even out. But at the end of the day, how does that ball not go in?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, listen, you talk about survive in advance. That's what happened yesterday with Duke. You need a little luck on your side sometimes to advance in this tournament. And Aubrey Dawkins, who was the kid who missed the tip in, and when that ball's on the rim, I mean, if you watch this live, were you not going, they're done? Like, the ball's hanging on the rim. You're going,
no.
Yeah. And then it goes off, and the Duke wins. So with that said, man, we'll talk plenty about the tournament. Locally, though, guys, a guy we're very familiar with and a guy we certainly have enjoyed having on our show on a weekly basis, makes a decision, Mike, that I don't know if a lot of people thought he would make right after they lose to the University of Houston. Ron Hunter leaving Georgia State for Tulane. Now, here's my thing with this. I don't know the details. We have not heard whether or not if Georgia State was offering him an extension, if the money was there or not. Here's what I know, though, Mike. Georgia State basketball was relevant. And you just let a guy walk out of the door who helped make your program relevant. Now, if this was simply about money and they couldn't get him what, you know, give him what Tulane's giving him,
right?
Okay, so be it. But I don't understand how Georgia State, who has such a good thing with Ron Hunter, who said time and time again on this show, I don't want to leave, and you let him walk. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's certainly like I know the football program is on the ascent, and they've got a great new facility in the former Turner Field. But Ron Hunter's a guy that really helps put all of your athletics on the map, as we always say, and Ron talks about it, you know, rising tide raising all the ships over there with Panther Sports. And it's kind of hard to get your head around. Now, I don't know, as we said, I've got a buddy who works for Tulane, and he thought the rumor was basically Ron doubled his salary, which, again, who wouldn't take that deal? Problem is just Tulane is just so bad. They haven't been good literally since they were cheating in the 80s with Hot Rod Williams. You know, Tulane, and remember, you and I, Carl and I were in Houston for the Final Four a couple years ago, and that's when Mike Dunleavy came on our show.
He did.
And you and I look at each other like, because while we're talking to people sometimes, we'll text each other, and I'm like, why the hell is Dunleavy taking this Tulane job? You know, at that stage of his career, this stage of his life. And he was there 3 years, and he got fired and didn't do anything.
No, he didn't do jack. Some people have asked me, and immediately when I put this out, I think it was Jeff Schultz from The Athletic who had tweeted it yesterday. And I said, simply because the conversations that I had had with Coach Hunter, none of them had to do with new jobs. Right. None of them had to do with him leaving. So, in my opinion, something probably happened, and we're not privy to that, so I won't speak on it. But obviously, you know, when things go down like this, it's one thing, Mike, if there are rumors, there really weren't any. And I think there were certainly teams interested. But if you're going to tell me that you're Coach Hunter and the success you've had now at Georgia State, that you don't wait on an Alabama, Avery's gone, you don't wait on a Texas A&M, they're looking for a coach. You don't wait on some of these other jobs that potentially are going to open up. That's the part that's really puzzling to me, is that you immediately say, all right, I'm going to go to Tulane. And if it's because you felt like they were loyal to you and didn't want or wanted you when nobody else did, great. But there are other big-time jobs that are going to be available.
Right, and we've always joked around with Ron about that, and not try to disrespect Georgia State fans and the program, but we've always said, you know, Ron is a great brand. We've always said, imagine Ron with the keys to Georgia Tech or any other big-time, you know, not like football power five, but just a bigger conference than the Sun Belt. And again, Charlie Cobb, the AD for Georgia State, he's got a little egg on his face if everything that Ron said to Jeff Schultz in the Athletic article is accurate, and we have no reason to think it isn't, that there was no contract extension. And to Ron's comments to Jeff Schultz, saying his agent was reaching out and they weren't returning phone calls, which is kind of silly when nobody really works without 2 or 3 years on a contract in college sports, right?
That's true. None of these guys want to be lame duck. To Mike's point, and the reason why we bring it up, guys, is obviously it's big news locally, and you talk about, you know, the best basketball program in our state, at least in college, is right down the street. And I'm not talking about Georgia Tech. So we said this, you know, Georgia has struggled. I think Coach Crean's going to get it going, but he's got to turn it around. What's going to happen to Georgia Tech? Well, there's a cloud right now, but can Josh Pastner, you know, make some way and prove to people when he got the job what he's capable of? I think that it's possible, but right now I don't know what to think. I do know what's going on at Georgia State. They're winning. They're winning conference championships, and they're going to the NCAA tournament. So Ron Hunter moving on. To your point about Tulane, Mike, didn't win a conference game this year, 0-18, 4-27 on the season. Last year they won 14 games, and the year before they won 6. He's taking over a program that is struggling. There's no doubt. But if Coach can go there and turn it around, and all of a sudden, let's say Tulane somehow, because it is a better basketball conference, guys, and that's the one thing I will tell you. As much as I love what Georgia State's been able to do, now you're talking about Houston, who's in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati was in the tournament. You just saw UCF take Duke to the wire. Memphis. UConn's in that conference. It's a much better basketball conference. Even if UConn isn't up, the brand name.
But you call basketball games. That's like that arena is slightly bigger than what Georgia State has, right?
It's small, Mike. I mean, it's probably at max capacity, 35,000, 4,000 people, standing room only. I've seen better high school basketball arenas.
And I don't know. I'll have to ask my buddy who works for Tulane, but do they ever do like the big conference games at the Smoothie King Center where the Pelicans play? Because that might be, I mean, like when the big, you know, the big programs like a UConn or a Houston comes in to play in a place like that. Because,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's just, it's almost like Alumni Hall for St. John's. They play their games in the Garden, right, which obviously gives them a lot of juice. Yeah.
And listen, I don't think they've been as relevant in recent years to even attempt to do something like that.
Right. So, yeah, you're right about that.
You know, but this is why, if you say, well, why would he make this move? Some folks think it's a lateral move, which from a coaching standpoint, if I'm making more money and I'm in a better conference to get to the tournament, it's not. And that's what this is.
No, again, we can't speak for Ron. We've got calls out to Ron. We'll try to get him on ASAP for you, as he obviously has got a lot on his plate right now with his transition. But, you know, I mean, look, we've all been there. Maybe you're feeling, you're not feeling the love. And this is the first offer, and, you know, you take it. Ron's been around. And by the way, Ron has thought of very highly. So it's not like Ron is over here on an island at Georgia State. He's been he's elected by his peers to be the head of the coaching association a couple of years ago. He was, I think that's annual, and he won it and did it for a year. So people know who he is around college basketball.
Last time they won 20 games, and that's kind of the mark for most programs. Josh Pastner would love to win 20. Coach Crean would love to win 20. They're coming off, what, consecutive 20 wins? That's six seasons of 20 wins at Georgia State. Tulane the last time was 2012, 2013. So it's been a while. Mm. With that, man, we invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. We got a lot to talk about today, guys. Football news, the owners are meeting in the NFL in Phoenix. News coming out of there. We'll get to that at 3 o'clock in our NFL Blitz. And, of course, the grunt conversation that's going on social media has a lot of people buzzing. Follow us on Facebook if you've not already done so and like us. 929 The Game is the radio station. He is at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We would love to hear from you. And thanks, guys, by the way, for everybody over the weekend. We always get a bunch of them tweeting, Hey Man Ale.
Yeah, man, drinking that Hey Man Ale. And, you know, we hit McCray's the other day when they've got us for a few more days as the beer of the month right here in Midtown. And, again, it was funny. I was at a birthday party on Saturday for a couple of our mutual friends, the Dude and Don.
Happy birthday, fellas.
And a couple of guys were saying, man, the beer is – some guys I hadn't seen in a while. And they're like, I saw your beer in Ackworth. I saw your beer in Roswell. So it's kind of cool. As we said, it's better than a billboard, man. It's guerrilla marketing, and we really appreciate the fact you guys enjoy it. And we got some really cool stuff coming up this spring, so stay tuned for our little Dukes and Bell summer tour.
That is true. All right, guys. We got also, you can text us, by the way, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Multiple ways to get in contact and certainly have a conversation with us. Braves, guys, right around the corner. Opening day, and we now know what the starting rotation is going to look like. Mike and I will jump into this a little bit later on in the program as well. We will talk plenty today about Trey Young. Atlanta, let's represent. Let's stop having this conversation about other guys because, well, you know, I see him on ESPN more. I don't care. Trey Young is proving night in and night out he is Rookie of the Year. And it's time for us to stand up and start making some noise after this guy knocks down another game winner over the weekend, Mike.
I'm with you. Now, again, I want to cut you off at the knees. I said on Twitter today, I said, I think it's just we got to turn the page. We're not going to get it. Steph Curry didn't get Rookie of the Year.
Nope.
And his legacy set, and he went on to be an MVP. The media is like, it's a zero-sum game. They cannot appreciate two guys. It's got to be one guy. Like, this whole argument philosophy now you see, Carl, on FS1 or ESPN, right? You can't say both Trae Young and Luka Doncic are great, and they're both studs for their respective teams. It's got to be winner, loser, which is ridiculous. But I am of the opinion now with Luka, the national media is already, they've already made their decision.
I will say this. The wow moments continue.
Oh, hell yeah.
And for those people who have not been, you know, on board for whatever reason, and that's fine. We've been telling you this for months now. The kid can play. He's the real deal. We have a star. But the wow moments continue, Mike, and that just may be enough to sway some of these guys, to sway some of the folks. Now you've got his peers around the NBA supporting him. So we'll get into that along the way as well, guys. It is Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk NCAA tournament, the upsets, the highs, the lows that happened this weekend with Seth Greenberg from ESPN. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming off the NCAA tournament, we're talking about it with you. And we're going to talk right now with the guy who knows college hoops. I covered his games when I was calling games, actually, when he was at South Florida. Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst now, and two-time, Mike, like the WWE guys, two-time ACC Coach of the Year on the line with us. Coach, what's going on today? How you feeling?
Life is good. How you guys doing?
Man, what great, Coach. I know people out there, and I want you to address this off the jump. People actually think you, like, hate Duke when you can't even, like, give a fair analysis of Duke. It's crazy, isn't it?
That's a small, minuscule number that goes on Twitter and loses their minds. And, you know, look, everyone's, if they think that way, that's fine. I got one job. I say what I see. I coached for 36 years. I compliment them as much as I say what they do poorly at times. And if they can't get over it, you know, I'm not losing any sleep over it. I can tell you that much.
Well, Coach, everybody's got a kryptonite in their matchups. And obviously the athleticism, the size of UCF. Is that the close call for Duke?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it was a heck of a game. And, you know, I felt for the UCF kids because, I mean, they played so well. The game plan defensively, whether it was changing zones, 3-2-2-3, when they had Taco guarding Trey Jones and packing the lane. Aubrey was absolutely terrific. But, I mean, and it's not like everyone's going to take that kind of game plan and say, well, we're going to do that. And, you know, it's not like Michigan State's going to change what they do. Or anyone else that's going to play them is going to totally change what they do. I mean, Virginia Tech did that similarly when they beat them in Blacksburg. They didn't guard Jack White, and they didn't guard Trey Jones went for the basket. So, yeah, I mean, I think, look, the deeper you go into the tournament, the better the games are going to be because you're playing against a more level playing field. So that's why the games continue to get better.
It is Seth Greenberg here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, when you talk about, you know, chalk, and we said this as we started the show today, you know, you got a bunch of one seeds, obviously, twos, threes. These are recognizable brands that we're talking about now in the Sweet 16. But of these brands, which one of them really surprised you over the weekend, truly surprised you?
You know, really, none. I had all 16 in my Sweet 16, crazy as it sounds, but Oregon playing at a high level, winning 10 in a row. They've improved offensively. Peyton Pritchard's playing at a high level defensively. They extend their defense. They have the ability to then limit their exposure in the half court. Kenny Wooten blocks, seems like he blocks every shot. So I would say them to an extent. You know, Texas Tech was playing well. They lost that tough game to West Virginia at the end of the season where they didn't play well in the tournament, but they've been very good. Florida State's been one of the most impressive teams to me. I mean, the way they're playing, their depth, their athleticism. You know, our thoughts are out to Phil Kofer and his family with his dad passing yet. You know, he's got a stress fracture. He's in a boot. Yet those kids, Raquan Gray comes in, plays great. And those kids seem as focused as any team in the country. Carolina's playing great. You know, Michigan State's playing without Josh Langford, but still playing well. So, we'll see it, I guess, would be the surprise.
It's ESPN College basketball analyst Seth Greenberg with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Speaking of Florida State, and that seems like that can't miss as far as Gonzaga. FSU provide a lot of highlights, some upperclassmen on Gonzaga. I mean, who do you like in that one?
You know, I picked Gonzaga to win that game. You know, last year, Florida State obviously won that head-to-head matchup, and they won it with their length and athleticism. Gonzaga added Brandon Clark this year. And Brandon Clark is really a good basketball player. He's 6'8", explosive off the ground, offensive rebounds, averaging 3 offensive rebounds, 3 block shots a game. I mean, he's very good. It really comes down to if the point guard play at Gonzaga holds up. Because if it holds up, then Gonzaga wins. If it doesn't, because Florida State's running so many guys at him, then you know I could see very easily see Florida State winning that game.
Coach, you've been in these games like we saw with Tennessee, where you're up 20, 25. I'm not going to say the kids relaxed, but, you know, you're kind of scratching your head at the end of this one with Iowa, you know, going, how did they get back in this? And Grant Williams, I thought, was fabulous yesterday for the Vols. They move on to take on Purdue in the Sweet 16. What did you make of that matchup? Because it was a blowout, and everybody kind of, you know, turned the page, and then all of a sudden it was a game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, Tennessee started turning it over some. Shot selection wasn't as good. They weren't as focused. You know, Admiral Schofield struggled in the second half. And you got to give Iowa credit. You know, they have the ability to change defenses and eventually find one that gets you off balance, which I think is important. And Iowa can really shoot it. So, you know, they get it going and they can get back in the game. But you got to be impressed. Admiral Schofield saying, Coach, no, we're good. Those guys are playing well. Rick Barnes trusting it and keeping Kyle Alexander and Jordan Bowden and those guys and Lamonte Turner on the floor. That's what a great reflection of that program, the character in that program, and the selflessness of Admiral Schofield. You know, beyond, I mean, just amazing. And you know, it's so great to see a kid that really, really cares about the good of the group. And you're talking about one of the best players in the country making that decision.
Right. Noticing his teammates got it, he's not feeling it, and let's roll. Seth Greenberg with us here, guys, on the WadeFort.com hotline. Longtime head basketball coach, now working with ESPN, talking college hoops in the Midwest. Kentucky, we've been talking so much about Auburn and Tennessee, forgetting about Calipari and company. What do you make of that matchup? You got Kentucky taking on Houston.
Yeah, Houston is a really good defensive team. They defend and rebound. They've got very good perimeter play. Armani Brooks and Corey Davis and Galen Robinson, and against the Kentucky team that played a very good Wofford team, a top 20 Wofford team, and played without their best player and won, which is really impressive. I thought the defensive game plan John had was really good. They extended a second defender almost on Fletcher McGee, and I thought Tyler Hero was really good defensively. I think Kentucky wins this game, but I'm not sure they can win it without P.J. Washington. He's still in that boot. We'll see what happens. My gut feeling is he gets out of the boot, but he hasn't played in a week and a half. What does that mean? So I'm interested to see what happens in the next few days. But I think Kentucky's really improved defensively. They're defending the three-point line. They've got to match Houston's toughness, but I think that's a game they win.
Yeah, Corey Davis is very entertaining, the Houston guard. 26 against Georgia State, 21 against Ohio State. In yesterday's matchup. Coach, let's talk about the guard play, because, I hear coaches say this all the time. In the tournament, you got to have great guard play. But we've seen the bigs, yesterday, obviously Zion, and we've seen other bigs, take over games. The Purdue kid, Edwards, I thought he was, as far as guards are concerned, you got to have great guard play. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, the game starts with the guards. If you can contain the other team's guard and then your guard can make plays and get in the lane, that's a huge advantage. You can't turn it over because turnovers are touchdowns a lot of times in the NCAA tournament. You got to get some penetration so you can get open looks, step in threes. Your guard play makes the game easier for your front court. So, good guard play is so essential in the tournament, really at any time, to beat good teams.
It is Seth Greenberg breaking down the tournament for us. We were all, again, guilty as charged. We were kind of pulling against Virginia. It's like they were struggling at times early in the first round. Coach, we were talking about this. Who's the go-to guy? I mean, they did step up. They were on the ropes, and they got it cooking. But do you trust Virginia? Because it seems sometimes offensively because some of their parts.
I trust them. I mean, they've lost three games in the ACC this year. They've lost four totally in the last 2 years. DeAndre Hunter's their go-to guy. Ty Jerome can make a play. Mamadou Diakite is really playing at a high level. He was very good yesterday. And just because they don't play fast, everyone loses their mind. There's different ways to win. But when you beat the people they've beaten and win the number of games they've won, Virginia is very good.
But as a coach, is this like the typical media creation because of, we'll say, wow, they got that albatross around their neck, being the one to lose a 16? Is that something that like we have it here in Atlanta with the Falcons blowing the Super Bowl? Or is that something they can compartmentalize and just get back to work?
Well, it's part of their story, as Tony Bennett says all the time. It's part of their story, but it's how they deal with their story that's going to be the key. And it's there, but, everyone says that style can't win. They're really being foolish and unrealistic.
What do you think of Gonzaga? I mean, listen, I know they're good. They're a one seed, obviously. But, is this the best Gonzaga team we've seen?
I don't know if it's the best because the guard play isn't as deep as it needs to be. Zach Dovell Jr. is very good, but he really doesn't have a backup. Gio Crandall comes off the bench at both of those positions. They're very good. Their front court's the best in the country if you just look at pure potential talent. But they'll only be as good as Josh Perkins leads them.
You think we're going to see a UNC Duke?
Yeah, I didn't until P.J. Washington got injured. Now when he's injured, I think there's a chance that we see that matchup.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's Seth Greenberg, guys, joining us here on the program, talking NCAA tournament. And, it's one of these deals where you look at the brackets and, everybody, as we said, it's pretty much chalk. And then you got Oregon in the 12th seed. But they actually won the Pac-12.
They went big. Remember in the middle of the season, they changed their lineup and got it cooking.
And so it's one of those deals where you look and you see the seeding if you're not familiar with college basketball and you kind of go, well, this Oregon team must not be good. They're very good, too, as well, Coach.
Yeah, they are good. They're athletic. They change their defenses. Wooten's playing great. Pritchard's seen a big basket. Lewis King, the freshman, is really taking his game to another level. Dana Altman's a very good tournament coach. They're a very good team, and they're, you know, teams that are, you know, playing well. They've won 10 in a row now. I mean, they're a confident team right now.
We'd be remiss if we didn't ask you, with all these Auburn fans here in the ATL, about Auburn,
right?
And the job that Coach Pearl has done, obviously coming off that SEC, you know, conference championship, and then making a run here, getting to the Sweet 16. But we know they got their you know, job cut out for them against North Carolina. But talk about Auburn.
Yeah, they're good. They're playing so confidently. They play so fast, so freed up. You know, they force a turnover, 1/4 of the possessions, but it's what they do off those turnovers and how fast they convert from defense to offense. And, you know, Bryce is shooting the ball so confidently. And, you know, Bryce and Jared, too, I think Atlanta kids are actually playing at a very high level. And, you know, Chuma Okeke is, when he plays well, all of a sudden you got three guys that put so much pressure on the defense. They've got a good chemistry, a good trust. They're very aggressive in their defense. Now, they're not a great half-court defensive team, but the full court, they're very good.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. We appreciate it. Keep doing great work, man. We enjoy watching. ESPN College Basketball Analyst and two-time ACC Coach of the Year, it is Seth Greenberg. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
You got it, man. Talking about, it's funny, you mentioned UVA, because we were going round and round. You were out in Vegas to watch. What was the reaction out there when that was happening?
It was crazy. I mean, that game, obviously, Tennessee blowing the 25-point lead. People were going because Tennessee was, I think they were an 8 or 10, or I forget what the spread was, but they were a huge favorite. And then to get out to the start they did, so that right. reaction, but there was no reaction like the Duke, because everybody thought history was about to be made.
Seth believes in the Cavaliers, man, because Randy Mack was on. We were doing the Mike Conte, in case you missed it, and that was like the last like 30 seconds of Gardner Webb, Virginia. We were like, oh!
Yeah.
Just making animal noises, basically, for about 2 minutes.
That's all you do during the tournament. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk some headlines, man, and get you caught up on the latest things, not only around the NFL as Grunk retires, but the latest with the Braves. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're having a good Monday. It's Dukes and Bell. Braves playing an exhibition game. And that's, I'm knocking on this faux wood if they don't get rain tonight, right?
Well, that's just it. There's some violent thunderstorms, high winds that were rolling through Mississippi. It always, all the best have always rolled out of Alabama. But, yeah, they're saying it's going to be here, well, anytime, like right about now, through the afternoon. Let's hope that if you got tickets to the Reds tonight, they can get it in. But what do you like? Do you like this, by the way, the two exhibition games, then they'll go up to Philly? It's kind of like in the old days. You know, it's like, it's almost like a soft opening. Season was on. And, you know, it was off and it was on. In this case, yeah, they're playing the Reds and then two here and then up to Philly. And then Julio Teheran gets the season started.
If you're going to do this, I mean, again, it's sorry, scheduled. But if you're going to do this, I'd like to see teams that we normally don't get a chance to see.
Right.
Okay?
Like the Red Sox, Yankees. Correct. We've done that before on this kind of preseason last few games deal.
You know, maybe it makes a little more interesting because you don't get a chance to see some of these guys. But I get it. I am ready for baseball. I'm ready for the season to get underway. I'm not ready for our bullpen. I will tell you that. I do have a lot of question marks about where we're going and how we're going to get people out late in games. That's just what it is. But I will say this. I like the fact that Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves, our general manager, is trying to see what we have in these young arms. It's about time. I think we should have done this last year, to be honest with you, Mike. But, you know, they weren't willing to do that. They made the trade for Gausman. Gausman helped us get to the playoffs. So be it.
Good news is, by the way, Gausman had a nice outing.
He did.
Looked good because he only pitched like 2 innings prior to that. So he's ready to roll, apparently.
But, you know, when you start talking about some of these guys that we've been waiting on, right? And we said this. How long do we have to wait? You're either ready or you're not. And with pitching, you got to pitch. You can't say, well, he needs more time in the major or the minors. Sometimes that's the case. But after seeing Kyle Wright this spring, Kyle Wright's ready.
Right. You know, and the guys, there's a couple of guys, Bryce Wilson, they're really high on, Max Fried. It's go time. I mean, look, only reason we put it out there with the Gio Gonzalez, and we said all last week, was just if you're not that confident, because all you can go by is what they're saying. You know, if you're not that confident, at least take some stress off your bullpen by a guy that you know is going to give you 6 strong innings every time out. Hey, it's... This is the way the cookies crumbled. It's go time. Craig Kimbrell's still out there. There was a flirtation with the Brewers. Seems like term seems to be the hang-up. He wants that 4 or 5 years, and no one's willing to pay it.
Yeah, it's been the from the start. He wanted 5 years, then, you know, all right, 4. Teams are offering 2. He wants 3. I've said we need him for 2.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what it is.
I want Kimbrell. There's no way I would want anything more than a 3-year contract, which he's not going to accept.
Player option if you're going to do a team option with, right. On that third year. It is Dukes and Bell, man. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. It's time for you to get on the Trae Young bandwagon. Come on, Trae Young.
Kevin looks. Still looks. Now he goes to Trae. Trae Young in the middle. 2 seconds. One. Trae, a floater. It's good. With 1/10 of a second left. Trae Bendis. Trae Young scores. 1/10 of a second left, and the Hawks lead. 129-127. Trae Young, ladies and gentlemen. Doncic, who?
Steve Holman with a call right here on your home of your Atlanta Hawks, 92-9 the game. 32 points. You just heard the last second shot. 129-127 over Philly. Another great outing for Herter. You know, and it was just so much fun to see. Luckily, the Mavericks also won a game, so we're still hanging in there, Carl, if you do believe or you care about that thing. 4 games ahead of the Mavs to hold on to that 5th protected pick.
I guess it just doesn't mean anything that Trae Young's numbers are better than Magic's were when he was a rookie, or Chris Paul when he was a rookie, or Jason Kidd when he was a rookie. I'm just saying. 18.7 All right. points a game. 8 assists
I know.
A game.
You're making
it. Does it must not mean anything when you're compared to some of the all-time greats when you're having a kick-ass season.
You're making it more. Again, you're making a great argument. You're throwing some logic out there. And by the way, when Steph Curry, who finished second in the Rookie of the Year battle back in 09-10, you know who he lost to? Tyreke Evans.
Who?
Tyreke Evans. Steph Curry.
Tyreke's a good player.
No, here's the thing though. Steph's got 7,000 more points than Tyreke Evans. Okay, but I get where you're going. I threw up the white flag on this. I see these idiots.
I never quit.
No, but I see these idiots like Skip Bayless and the idiots on the jump on ESPN. Mm-hmm. But, Carl, they don't know about one guy and the other guy. It's one guy or the other guy. That's it. As I said, it's one winner, one loser. All they see is Luka, 21 points, 5.8 assists. You know, that's all they see.
Let me tell you what they're seeing. Let me tell you what they're seeing since the All-Star break. They're seeing Trae average 25 a game and give you 9 assists, 5 boards, which that's extra.
I know, but you're giving false hope because he's not going to win. The national media is on Luka.
There is no false hope. This is what it is. If you're not on the train, fine.
On the train.
Get off the train.
No, I'm on the train.
I don't care. If you don't want to support our guy,
hold on. Time out. I'm supporting the train.
If you're not with Trae, so be it.
I'm just telling you.
I'm with Trae.
The conductor's not letting the train go to the station, which is the
rookie. I'm with Trae.
Good for you. He's not going to win it.
Ice Trae.
He's not winning it.
Ice Trae for Rookie of the Year.
They want the white boy.
Thanks for being on the team.
They want the white boy.
You know what? Get off the bus.
It's Luka. That's what they
want. We don't
want
you on the bus.
You know what? Call Skip Bayless.
You've made no sense at all.
Call all the numbskulls at the four-letter network. That's all they know is the Mavericks. They don't know. Apparently, Atlanta, they're not familiar with our city.
This is what I do know. They're seeing the wow moments. Now, does it matter? I don't know. It matters to me. It matters that our guy's balling out and winning games and making game winners. It matters that he's giving up the rock when he needs to and making players around him better. I don't know about you guys. I'm all about Trae.
Well, we got one guy. We found one guy.
I'm all about Trae.
Donovan Mitchell. Take a listen.
Sorry, no, it was just on his Twitter. He said,
"Oh, for God's sake, you know that's it. So." What did he say? I don't have it in front of me.
He says Rookie of the Year. He says he's Trae Young should be Rookie of the Year.
Craig's in my ear. Donovan Mitchell, Rookie of the Year.
He did tweet that out, and then I think that was followed up by Kuzma with the Lakers. Either way, guys, we'll see where it goes.
Oh, but, by the way, while you're out on vacation, maybe I didn't tell you the LeBron season ended.
Yeah, 13 straight years, no playoffs now, man. It's not going to feel right.
It's strange. And ESPN, by the way, did lobby to have the end of the season. And if you didn't see this, the elimination from the playoffs be rescinded. They did send a letter to Adam Silver.
It's going
to
feel weird. I'm not going to lie about that. 13 years of him being in the playoffs, no playoffs with LeBron.
Ratings are going to take a hit this year.
Yeah, probably. Meanwhile, everybody's talking about Duke's win. If you missed it, here's the final call on Westwood 1.
The top seed Duke with a 77-76 lead. UCF inbounding on the side of the front court. Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building scanning, all 18,000. Allen looking, gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds, he's on the right wing. He drives inside, leans in, puts it up, no good. Tap back, no good by Dawkins. Duke rebounds, and the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape, 77-66.
And, you know, Johnny Dawkins' kid, and, of course, its connection all those years as an assistant with Mike Krzyzewski and Coach K hugging the UCF kids because that was one for the ages. Isn't that funny how the tournament goes, though? It's Zion, then everybody's up on the John Morant thing, and then it's Aubrey Dawkins, and then it's
well, Fricky, we got to draft tackle fall.
No, we don't.
A lot of guys are getting prisoner of the moment on this.
Listen, everybody likes 7-6, okay? Dude should have fouled out way earlier in the game, all right? They were going at him, contact. He's not a difference maker. He's a big guy. We've seen this before.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool, but that's college.
Right. He's more adept around the basket than, let's say, a Manute Bol.
No doubt.
But coming into
the league, because Manute had no offense. But, yeah, that's not where – John, that's not where it's at, okay? Oh, look, somebody is talking about Trae Young.
For sure. I feel like he's been consistent. He's shown growth, steady growth, and he's getting hot at the right times. And I feel like it's just obvious, you know, the way he's playing right now compared to his other rookie counterparts joining the league.
Thank you, John Collins. All right, so he's a teammate. So what? All right, if you don't love your teammate, who's going to love you?
No, again, let the record reflect. Carl is still pimping for, and I am with you.
Ice Trey, rookie of the year.
I am just trying to give you the reality check here. I'm trying to tell you what time it is.
No, I'm trying to
give you the temperature in the room. The national media don't like us.
And this is what you're saying. You know what? You're saying the national media. Who cares? Who gives a damn about the national media? I don't care about what they say.
I don't need him.
I care about what happens in my city.
I don't need him to win rookie of the year.
This is my city.
I just gave you the numbers. Steph Curry lost to Tyreek Evans. Who gives a crap? Who would you rather have these days? Who cares?
No, listen, I think Trey's going to go on without this award or not.
Right.
He's going to go on to have a great career. I think people are recognizing that. But come on. You're really not watching?
You know, unfortunately, there's this – it's always going to be the – like, I'm not trying to make this a race thing, so bear with me. But there is always – it's so easy for the national media to jump on a guy like Luka. It's just so easy for them.
Yeah,
and that's what they play. And that's what they always play it down to the dumbest, lowest common denominator on ESPN and FS1.
What, because he's a Euro?
Yeah, this guy with the cover magazine, ESPN, the magazine back before the draft last year, they've been on this thing since Jump Street.
Yeah, listen, and for those who think I might be hating on Luka, which I'm not, I'm biased because I see what this dude is doing in our city, but Luka's having a great season. But Luka came into this league with 4 or 5 years of professional basketball overseas, which is why he was rated as high as he was, and his game was offensively ready for the NBA. But Trey, he surprised you, didn't he? A lot of you guys didn't think he could play. A lot of you guys didn't even think he would be doing what he's doing.
You thought he was so too small and all that. Remember, guys, 19 years of age, and we talked to Dari Nuka earlier this summer and was saying how he faded a little bit at Oklahoma. Well, the kid is coming into his own every day. He gets better and gives you more wow moments. That's the news. That's the big story.
All right, you're wondering, Dukes and Bell, you guys just did headlines. Yeah, it was an abbreviated version, but you didn't mention Gronk. Well, we will next in our NFL Blitz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.